Hi, everybody. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. Come on. Okay, I'll tell what I think the lyrics are. Loving is easy if your colors are like my dreams, red, gold, and green. Is that what the lyrics are?
Okay, I'll tell you what I think they are. I think now I'm just thinking what you just said. Now I forgot what I thought my lyrics were. You said loving is easy if your colors can light my dreams.
No, I said are like my dreams, but I think that's way better.
I don't think can light. I think it's if your colors are like my dreams. It makes much more sense than can light my dreams.
I like
in red, gold, and green.
Let's see. Loving would be easy if your... Oh, well, I don't trust these lyrics because they spelled your wrong.
Loving would be easy if your...
Colors were like my dreams.
Were like my dreams. There you go. You were right.
But I still don't trust these because, again, they spelled things wrong.
I don't know.
Unless they're trying to say you are colors. Okay, whatever.
It's fine. What does red, gold, and green represent? Christmas.
Sure.
All right, we got it. Nailed it. We did good. Oh, it's a chameleon.
This episode is called Chameleon or... Chameleon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is aired on April 26th, 2024, season 32, episode 27, hosted by our OG queen, Andrea Canning. Now, we do have a new queen in town, Blaine Alexander, who we've had two episodes from, and she's lovely. I don't know what we will call her if she becomes a series regular.
You did not listen to my episode then, because I did come up with a name.
Oh, what was it?
I believe it was...
Baroness.
I believe it was Attagirl Alexander, because I kept during the episode going, Attagirl, Attagirl, when she asked questions. It was a natural response to her question asking.
She is an Attagirl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's great.
And maybe also because I'm rooting for her because she's new.
Right, of course. Yeah, I love that.
So subject to change.
Yeah. So this episode is a doozy. We got to get right into it because my notes were long and dense and I couldn't skip anything because it's just, it's so much insanity. This was starting in 1991. So we've rewound, and we are going to rewind further. And then we're going to go to the present and we're time travelers.
Yeah, we are. We're also all over the country again.
Yeah. So Fran Smith, who lives in New Jersey, was on a belated honeymoon in the Poconos with her new husband, John. And we are meeting Fran's daughter, Dee Dee, and her sister, Sherry. They are our main heroines of this episode. So Fran, on this honeymoon in the Poconos, slips in the bathtub and breaks her hip. Andrea calls it a honeymoon from hell, which I was shocked by because she hosts Dateline and we've seen actual murders on honeymoons, but that's fine. This does sound horrible.
It's a major injury. It's not great.
Fran needs surgery and then has to recover. They're back in New Jersey. One day, Dee Dee calls her mom to check in. Fran doesn't answer. She calls John. John's not answering. Fran had also missed her doctor's appointment. Now, bear in mind, she's totally immobile at this point. She had just started physical therapy and was barely moving. So where would she go?
A broken hip takes you out, right?
Oh, for sure. 100%.
It does. Okay.
Dee Dee calls John at work, says, where's my mom? And he says, I thought she was with you.
What?
How do you lose your wife who has a broken hip? This impossible. So he tells Dee Dee, well, your mom was getting so stir crazy sitting at home. So she left on a trip to visit family. I think Texas or Florida. Because when you have a broken hip, you want a road trip across the U.S. You can't even get out of the car to stop at Wawa for snacks.
I was going to say, can you drive? Can you operate a vehicle with a broken hip?
She can't drive because of the hip. So he says, I think her friend took her.
What friend?
This is some friend. What friend is taking you to Texas or Florida? Two of the most terrifying states in the nation, by the way.
A bad friend.
Yeah.
I'll lay the seats flat in the back and we'll just set you up with a sleeping bag and a bedpan. No.
Can you imagine jostling?
No.
On road bumps with a broken hip?
No doctor is allowing her to travel states away.
No.
On a road trip with a freshly broken hip. No.
No. So Dee Dee calls the friend and the friend says, no. That's not no. And so John says, well, she left when I was at work. And so that's why I really don't know where she is. She took her yellow suitcase with her. So, oh, and he also says that she left a note that said, gone to visit family, call you in a couple days, be sure to feed the fish.
That's that one book, the...
Red Fish, Blue Fish. Which book?
No, the one, and thanks for all the fish. I'm blanking on it right now. It's going to come to me.
Oh, is that Douglas Adams?
Yeah, it's not Douglas. It wasn't like a reference, right?
That's a Hitchhiker Guide.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that was a Hitchhiker's Guide reference. He files a missing persons report at daughter Dee Dee's request.
Did Dee Dee speak to her mother after she came home from the honeymoon in the Poconos?
Yes. And she was like, I'm so bored. I can't wait to start physical therapy because I'm so sick of sitting around the house.
Okay. Thank you.
The detective goes to the house and says, there didn't seem to be anything real concerning. This is insanity. Are you kidding me?
Is she there? If she's missing, it's concerning. So if she's there, we're fine.
So if she is there with her broken hip, there is much to be concerned about.
Because blood isn't smearing the walls, we're fine.
Right.
Everything's fine.
Right. Her car is still there, and John says he can't find the car keys. Okay? So I guess they took this friend's car. The friend that says she didn't take her.
What friend, John?
No, no one. Do you see the friend in the room with you right now? Is the fish in the room with you right now? Is there a fish?
Are the fish still alive? Did the detective check the fish?
Did John feed the fish?
No.
Dee Dee, who is Fran's daughter, and Sherry, who's Fran's sister, call all the hospitals in the area. They call all of Fran's friends. They make missing persons flyers. Dee Dee says to the detective after a couple weeks pass, my mom is dead. I know she would have contacted me by now. She would have contacted one of us. We were very close. I know she's dead.
Oh.
John tells the detectives, Fran was in a really dark place. Maybe she went to hurt herself because she had this injury that was making her very depressed. And she was kind of lonely in New Jersey because they were from Florida. So they met at work in Florida. He was an engineer of some kind, a little bit nerdy. She was 9 years older. He was a 39-year-old bachelor. They build a house in Florida next to Fran's mother's house. And John was apparently very socially awkward, but he did dote on Fran and her mother. He seemed very nice. But then he lost his engineering job and got a new one in New Jersey. Fran did not want to go. She did not know anyone in New Jersey, but they went. Now, the other thing is that John owns a mysterious beach house in Connecticut, but it's too far for him to commute to New Jersey. So he says, we're going to rent a condo in New Jersey. And so they move to New Jersey. And then right away, within a few weeks, they go on this delayed honeymoon to the Poconos where she breaks her hip. So they were very new to Jersey.
Okay. How far is Connecticut to Jersey?
Dee Dee and Sherry didn't buy the suicide story because, as Sherry says, that's a one-way ticket to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. So there we go.
Sherry is great.
Sherry's great. Very matter of fact, and clearly very religious. She thinks there's no way my sister would kill herself. And Dee Dee says, people who kill themselves don't hide their bodies, John.
Ooh.
Good burn, Dee Dee.
That's very good. Okay, sorry, quick interjection. 68 miles, an hour and 21 minutes. You already have a house there.
Yeah, you already have a beautiful beach house. It might be worth an hour commute.
Maybe. Is it worth the money? I don't know.
So the craziest part of all this is the condo they get in New Jersey is on the third floor with no elevator. And Fran has, again, broken her hip and is on crutches, totally immobile without help. So again, she's going on a road trip to Florida. Did she crawl down those stairs like Exorcist style and then got in her friend's car and then drove to Florida? And you're not concerned at all.
Also, wouldn't this be a time that she might need some extra help around the house? So you call in her sister or her daughter and say, hey, could you come out here and stay for a while? Or I'm going to set her up in just a rental for a month or so until she gets a little more mobile and not have her do these three flights of stairs. Because, yeah, she's totally dependent on someone if she's stuck up there in that tower.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get it.
They keep showing this photo of John. Viewers will know the photo. I don't know how to describe it, but I'm going to try. It's like an old episode of The Twilight Zone, and a man with a severe side part and overbite was abducted by aliens from his job as an accountant in the middle of the workday. And the aliens have asked if they can probe him. And they asked first because they're polite aliens. And the expression on his face is...
Mid-probe.
Mid-probe.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
When the Dateline producers saw this photo with the weird flash and the plain background, like almost a mugshot, but again, it's aliens taking a mugshot of their probing victims. The Dateline producers, I guarantee you, they saw this photo and they were like, that's our episode. We're building our whole episode around this photo. I don't know who this man is. He might not even be a criminal. We'll make something up. And then they find out his wife went missing and they're like, even better. Perfect.
And then they found out that his name is John Smith.
The most made up name ever.
No, sir. Sorry. He also looks the same in every photo. It's the same expression.
Yeah, shocked. Mid-probe. Joni thought he was incredibly creepy. She was bothered.
He's got a bit of the googly eye.
Also, Fran is gorgeous. And it's like, him?
Yeah, there's that too. There's that part of it.
Him? Is he funny? No, we've already been told he's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
So Sherry and Dee Dee think John is not acting right. He seems unconcerned where Fran is, and he's acting more like the victim. Like, how could she do this to me? My job is so stressful. And now she's gone. I've just been probed by aliens. And now this? It's too much to deal with.
Wow. How long did they date before they got married?
Quick. I think it was within a year.
Okay. All right.
They have been married about 18 months at this point because it was a very delayed honeymoon.
But they don't know John very well.
No. No one knows John very well.
Sherry and Dee Dee aren't friendly with him.
Dee Dee starts thinking about other strange things, like how he owns this beach house in Connecticut. And apparently he travels there all the time to check on the house, which is not sus at all. And Fran has never been allowed to see the house.
Okay. And what did you think?
Bodies in the basement.
Oh, you did? Okay. I just was like, for sure, second family.
At least second family.
At least second family, but maybe multiple children.
Yeah. Maybe aliens.
Maybe also aliens.
Maybe he has some aliens in the basement. He is a pod person.
Maybe cult.
Cult.
I'm watching some cult stuff.
The options are endless, really.
With that face, that could be cult.
He's not charismatic enough, though, to be a cult leader.
He's not the leader. He's just in it.
But you know what? He gets a lot of ladies.
He does.
And I feel like that maybe he could be a cult leader. We're just not seeing the appeal.
Or hearing it. We're not going to hear it either. You don't see it, hear it, sense it. We'll never know. Okay.
It might be something you just get in person.
No, they kind of describe it later. We'll get to it. They describe it a little bit.
So Fran has never been allowed to see this beach house in Connecticut. He says his sister lives there, but then Dee Dee and Sherry learn from the police that he don't have a sister. So that, okay.
Okay.
Detectives Mansu and Dansbury, they are on the case. They call the Connecticut police and say, can you go check out this beach house and see if anyone's living there? The detective watches the house and sees that a woman is living there. And he leaves his business card. Dee Dee and Sherry want the police to be more active. They want them to search the condo in New Jersey, see if there's a crime scene. They say, we don't have cause. It is because he is creepy AF.
It is because I'm faxing you a picture right now.
Look at the photo.
Check the fax machine. Now do you have cause?
Dee Dee and Sherry fly into town. And John says, I'll get you a hotel. And Sherry says, no, we're staying with you. I love Sherry.
Sherry is great.
Dee Dee and Sherry start searching the condo every time he leaves to go to work. And they're taking photos of everything. They are Angela Lansbury-ing it up.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. They notice that Fran's personal items like toothbrush still there. You would take that on a road trip. Also, get ready for some shady business.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the yellow suitcase, it's there.
Okay.
So that's another lie. And then the big thing, there was a huge stack of missing person flyers that they had sent to John so he could pass them out in the area. They're sitting right there in the closet.
But unopened. He never even opened the package.
Yeah. So Andrea says, good detective work. She's ready to hire Sherry and Dee Dee, and so am I. They go tell the detectives everything suspicious that they found. Detectives tell them what they've found, which is that John has been married before. And he had told Fran he was a bachelor, never married.
Who are these detectives that they're working with? Florida detectives?
No, Jersey detectives.
So the Jersey detectives are looking into it a little. They're just not doing a lot.
They're very cautiously looking into it.
Okay.
And they keep saying she's a grown woman. She's allowed to go off.
With a broken hip, though.
With a broken hip, though. Okay. Exactly. But now they're getting more into it as they realize there's something very off about this man.
Mm-hmm.
They find out that he has been married before to a woman named Janice. They eloped after high school. Then they got divorced. It was a friendly divorce. And Janice moved to a commune in Florida.
So cult.
It's all happening in Florida.
I was right.
Yeah, cult. Detectives have not been able to locate Janice. And Dee Dee and Sherry go, well, we can. So let's try.
There we go.
They have no formal detective skills. They've maybe watched a lot of Dateline. So they realize Janice has a brother named Gary Hartman. There's probably thousands of them. They start calling 411 in any area they think that Janice is from and asking for Gary Hartman's. Now, youngsters will have no idea what 411 is, probably. Do they know what 411 is?
No.
It's where you call and the operator gives you some numbers. But then it became a phrase like, what's the 411? Which is like, what's the sitch?
Did people say, what's the 411?
Yeah.
Mm.
Maybe just my loser friends.
No, maybe your cool friends is what it sounds like. That sounds cool.
So Dee Dee explains that usually the 411 person would only give you like two numbers. If you said, give me some numbers for any Gary Hartmans you can find, they'd give you like two at a time. But they would tell the operator the story and she would give them like five phone numbers. I say, go down to where the operator is, show them John's creep probing photo. She will give you all the Gary Hartmans. She'll print them out for you on good paper.
That's true. Cardstock.
Cardstock. So they are calling all the Gary Hartmans, leaving a message. Finally, they get a call back from a Gary who says, yeah, Janice is my sister. She says, well, I think our sisters were both married to John David Smith. And she hears this big intake of air. And the guy says, lady, you've got a problem.
Ooh.
There are only a few types of people that can get away with calling someone lady. Like construction workers, cops.
No, construction workers can't get away with it.
Well, you can't be a doctor and be like, hey, lady, you've got mild to moderate arthritis. Let's discuss treatment plans.
Mild to moderate plaque psoriasis.
Lady.
Also, if a construction worker is saying it, I'm assuming you're thinking in the vein of, hey, lady, we're working here. Is that what you're thinking of?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lady, watch where you're walking. And they're always like, have a stereotypical New Jersey, New York accent. I'm so sorry.
I think that if you are in that area, maybe you can get away with lady.
So maybe it's just a regional, hey, lady, I don't think you're getting restorative sleep, and I want to tell you about Hatch.
Yeah, tell me.
A million things don't want you to sleep, lady, but Hatch does.
Yeah.
Sleep has always been a struggle for me. It is one of the many times that my anxiety comes out to play, and it's not fun. I've said it before, I really could have used something like Hatch when I was a kid. I think I maybe still wouldn't have a hard time sleeping as an adult if I had built these healthy habits earlier.
Yeah.
The good news is it's never too late to learn how to sleep better. I have a sleep reminder set on my Hatch Restore at a certain time with a deep purple color and owls hooting, letting me know it's time for bed. Now, I know some of you were concerned that the owls might be stressful because of Michael Peterson. Now, to me, I find it relaxing because I'm reminded about the owl theory and how I am right. And being right relaxes me.
There we go.
Makes sense?
Totally.
And then when I go to bed, I listen to Pillow Talk, which comes with the Hatch Plus subscription. They have anything that you can imagine, like people reading textbooks. So you just kind of drift off to sleep, like you're in class in high school and you're just super bored.
Oh, that's great.
You just drift off and you're feeling all cozy. It's like magical serotonin voices.
Yeah.
Also in the morning, I used to set my morning alarm to a Taylor Swift song. Don't ever do that because you will hate that song within 2 days of it waking you up.
Ooh.
And it jolts you awake like Gilbert Godfrey is screaming at the side of your bed.
Like Gilbert Godfrey screaming, shake it off!
It's horrible.
Is that what you mean? Yeah.
But the Hatch Restore has the sunrise alarm, so it slowly brings up the light that mimics the sunrise. And you can wake up to a whole bunch of beautiful nature sounds. You can do morning stretches and meditations. It's a beautiful way to start your day. Right now, Hatch is offering our listeners $20 off your purchase of the Hatch Restore and free shipping at hatch.co/date-dateline. Visit hatch.co/date-dateline to get $20 off and free shipping.
Woo!
Hatch.co/date-dateline. Thank you so much, Hatch.
Thank you, Hatch. Hey, lady or fellas, hatch yourself some good sleeping habits, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, lady.
Yeah.
Speaking of good sleep, you know what's better than a cozy bed? Cozy bed with some comfy, soft sheets.
Nothing is better than getting a great night's sleep in the softest sheets imaginable. One thing that I am certainly guilty of is buying bad bedding. Uncomfortable sheets or sheets that just completely fall apart after a few washes, like the little elastic come out.
Yeah.
I had one pair of sheets that just had rips in it. No reason, but that's never going to happen again. And you too can immediately transform your sleep experience with Boll & Branch. With Boll & Branch, you can feel the quality right away. They are so, so soft, so breathable, so buttery. It feels like I imagine what sleeping in a palace would feel like.
Yes, palace core.
That's it. And I'm never, ever going back.
You deserve it.
And I don't have to because the Boll & Branch signature sheets actually get softer with every wash. They're made with the finest 100% organic cotton and are completely free from toxins. Not to mention, they are the best looking sheets I have ever owned. And I am also not alone because Boll & Branch sheets are loved by millions of sleepers. And one of those sleepers includes my mother. If I could make a tiny plea for anyone looking for a Mother's Day gift, set of Boll & Branch sheets, she too can be sleeping in luxury. My mom loves hers.
That's a great gift.
Cannot get enough of them and talks to me about them probably once a week. It's that intense. I just love these sheets. I just love them. I don't want to tell her, but Boll & Branch also has other items like super airy blankets, duvets, and the fluffiest pillows, and so much more. But don't tell my mom that. We don't need her to know about that. But the sheets themselves have over 11,000 five-star reviews. Also, they have a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. And if you don't love them, you can send them right back.
Amazing.
So sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Boll & Branch, and get 15% off your order when you use promo code DATEDATELINE at BollAndBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, BOLLAND, branch.com, promo code DATEDATELINE. Exclusions apply, see site for details. To sleep, perchance to dream. And what I'm dreaming about is more Boll & Branch sheets. Thank you so much, Boll & Branch. Beautiful, beautiful products.
Oh, what fools these mortals be when they don't sleep on Boll & Branch sheets.
Yes! Brava, brava. Thank you so much, Boll & Branch.
So this Gary Hartman that Dee Dee and Sherry are speaking to says, well, my sister Janice disappeared in 1974 within days of her divorce to John. And I love Andrea Canning's reaction because she's shocked, even though she fully knows the case going into these interviews. But she really is like, this is major news. There is a second wife that's missing.
Andrea's really animated this episode, and I'm into it.
Yeah, it's so great.
And she seems to also be full-on best friends with Sherry and Dee Dee by the end.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The detectives look into this first wife, Janice. They get her missing persons report. John had originally told the police maybe she went to Florida with her red suitcase. Now, you might remember, with Fran, it was Florida with a yellow suitcase.
You got to stop with these details, John. You got to stop it.
Yeah, too detailed.
Just say a suitcase. And when they say, can you describe the suitcase? Oh, I don't remember. Maybe it was green or maybe it was like a red pattern. I mean, he can't even lie well.
No.
He's bad. No. This is bad.
Does he only marry women with primary colored suitcases?
Maybe.
Also, this is like Taylor Swift's new song, Florida, which she wrote inspired by Dateline. True story. The amount of people that have sent me that article, as if I'm not already abreast of Taylor Swift news 24/7. But I really appreciate it. You all know me very well. I'm waiting for her to mention diamond painting in a song, and then it'll be the trifecta.
Yeah.
I would just explode.
I think you would. I think you'd just explode into diamond dust if that happened, which is, where's Kimber?
So both Fran and Janice have left to Florida with their colorful suitcase and without their cars. They both left their cars there. Police are now super suspicious. They bring in John for a polygraph and he fails miserably. The worst the administrator has ever seen. That's got to feel good. It's always good to be at the top of your field.
Wow, man.
So the investigators go to his hometown. They want to find out more about him because he's kind of a mystery man. They want to talk to everyone who knows him. They talk to his brother, Michael.
Michael Smith?
Michael Smith.
You've got to be kidding me.
Michael Smith, John Smith.
I literally, is there any other David Smith? Is there a David in the family?
Well, no, because John is a John David.
Okay, I'm done. These are just like the most
common. Michael says they were raised by their grandmother and they have since drifted apart. So Michael knew about Janice, the first wife, but he didn't know that he had married Fran, the second wife. They feel like Michael isn't totally being forthcoming and they're trying to get him to open up more. But then Ethel, the grandmother, bursts into the kitchen and starts screaming at Michael to shut up and the police to leave. So Ethel knows something.
Has Ethel come back into fashion yet? Ethel or Lucy? Are we back to those two yet?
Lucy is fine. Lucy, I don't think ever went out of fashion. Ethel, I don't know if it's returned.
Ethel and Blanche, I'm waiting.
Yeah. So she kicks them out and they think they are on the right track. Michael knows something. And Andrea says to the detectives, it's getting hot in the kitchen.
Yeah.
They finally feel like they have enough to search John and Fran's condo in New Jersey. They find Fran's car keys inside John's briefcase. So that was a lie when he said he couldn't find them. John agrees to come in to talk to the investigators and they use all their cop show techniques, but he won't admit anything. So they have to let him go. But amateur PIs, Sherry and Dee Dee, are not giving up.
Yeah.
They want to find out more about John's new lady in Connecticut at the beach house. They know there's been recent storm damage in the area, so they call the house pretending to be contractors. They make up the name of a contracting company and they say, Mrs. Smith? And she says, yes.
Ooh.
And they're like, oh, does he have another wife? And they find out this woman's name is Sheila. Now, Dee Dee knew that her mother's marriage to John, even though it was only 18 months old, was kind of rocky because she had heard them fighting right before Fran went missing.
Mm.
And so she's wondering, did Fran find out about this woman in Connecticut at the beach house? Sheila, what's going on? Investigators go to talk to Sheila. She says she's not actually married to John. They have talked about marriage, but they have been together as John's longtime girlfriend for 8 years, which is way before he met Fran.
Wow.
Also, ironically, they met at work when she worked in HR.
Sheila from HR.
Sheila from HR. And he applied to work at the company and they started doing it, which is great for HR.
Wow.
Again, him? How is he having all these ladies at the same time?
It is suspicious. We do not see a picture of Sheila. I wonder if she asked to not be shown on daily.
I would as well.
Okay. I mean, she's in HR.
Yeah, she's in HR. She has a reputation to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they tell Sheila, John is actually married to a lady named Fran in New Jersey, and she's missing. And apparently, Sheila is shocked. She is crying. She thought he just traveled a lot. Fran thought he was going to just check on the house in Connecticut, and Sheila thought he was just traveling for work or something.
These are just huge tips for everybody. If there is a second family,
mm-hmm.
if someone is always traveling, and especially for a weird reason.
Yeah, follow them. I'm not suggesting you follow them, but maybe I'm a little bit.
Maybe, or have someone follow them. I was also surprised that Sheila was not in on it. I thought Sheila was in on it.
I believe the detectives when they say that Sheila was very upset.
I do too, but I was just surprised.
Me too. I totally thought she knew.
I was like, oh, I thought that Sheila was totally going to know that there was another wife and this was a scam to somehow get money. I didn't know. So Sheila in HR, I apologize. I thought ill of you. They weren't showing your picture, Sheila. I thought you might be in prison. I didn't know what was going on.
No, Sheila is great. She tells them, I had no idea. I thought he traveled a lot. And then they tell her he also had a missing first wife. And that's when she got scared. Like, who is this person? And she volunteers to do anything she can to help their investigation, which is legit. Good for you, Sheila.
Yeah.
They have her call John and record the conversation. And she says, what's going on? What's happening? And he says, well, let me tell you what's going on, babe. Very smooth. Like, I guess.
Nope.
Maybe he is smooth. I don't know.
Mm-mm.
So she says, you have a wife that's missing? How could you not know where she is? You check on me every day, which is hilarious and not what I would be hung up on. I would be more hung up on the fact that you have a wife, not that you somehow lost her. Because you're so attentive to me.
People are really interesting.
They really are. Like, that's her first thought. Like, how did you lose track of her? you check up on me constantly.
It almost feels like you can see that she can't wrap her mind around parts of this.
Yeah.
She's like really good at some parts and then other parts, it's like she's getting stuck, which makes sense.
It's like when the police say, oh, so-and-so has died and the person says, I just saw them yesterday.
Right. You can't, your brain isn't allowing you.
That means nothing, but that's what you think of. John says, well, I think Fran left, and I think she partially left because of you. And Sheila says, because of me? Why because of me? And I was like, hello, Sheila, you're the other woman. I know it hasn't sunk in yet, but that's why Fran would have left, except she didn't leave on purpose. But if she had, it would have been because you are a mistress.
Wow.
So he says, well, I think she thought that my heart was with you in Connecticut.
Okay.
You're not charming.
He says that in like a really sneaky, offhanded way, that my heart was in Connecticut. Not with you. My heart was elsewhere.
I love the state. I just really like the government and I like the parks system. And
yeah, weird.
So he says, look, I don't know where Fran is. I try not to think that she's dead, but I do agree with police that since she hasn't contacted anybody, something happened to her. Sheila says, well, what about Janice? They told me about Janice. Who's Janice? And he says, well, we got divorced. Now, I reported her missing, but I just found out today that she had never been found. No one told me that she had been missing this whole time. And of course, I didn't follow up because I was getting probed every other weekend by aliens.
Right.
And I worked at my jobs. I'm very busy. I have two houses to maintain. I'm meeting ladies. Like, I didn't have time to follow up. So I just found out.
And that was back in the 70s, Sheil. That was when I was getting abducted every other weekend. You know that. I told you about that. It was bad out in the cornfield. It was bad. I was getting beamed up all the time.
Instead of criticizing me for not following up, you should be thanking me for following the police report the first time. Come on. I had the time to do it, and then I just dropped the ball. I didn't do follow through. I'm so sorry. Who files a missing person's report on someone and then never follows up to see if that person is ever found? And she is your wife.
Where did the cult story come from?
He told the police. Commune, Florida.
Oh, commune, Florida.
Red suitcase.
Be more specific, though.
Did she leave a note, too? Did she remind you to feed the fish?
Gone to commune. Feed the iguana. Bye. What in the world?
So Sheila says, listen, John, I need you to be honest. It's a bit late for that. He says, you know, I just think it's too late. And so the police are listening to this and they're like, is he saying because Fran and Janice are dead and he knows they're dead, so it's too late? Or is he saying it's too late for him and Sheila to work out now because of all this? It's very vague, but they felt like it was very suspicious that he said it's too late. He's not giving up anything specific that the police can use. A few years pass. The case is hitting a wall. But Dee Dee and Sherry are not stopping. And one of the detectives says, if I go missing, I want those two girls looking for me. Which is cute because one is like middle-aged and one is older. But it's adorable.
Totally agreed. Sorry. So they can use absolutely nothing from that phone call.
No. Well, later on they try to, but in it and of itself, it's not enough to arrest him or anything.
Okay.
Dee Dee and Sherry are trying to make John's life uncomfortable. He keeps moving states and jobs and most likely women. And every time Sherry finds out that he's at a new job, she would deploy a powerful weapon, her pen.
Mm-hmm.
She's writing not to HR because she says writing to HR is a waste of time. And I wondered if she was thinking about Sheila. Or
was that a Sheila diss?
Was that a Sheila dick?
Sherry.
I see you, Sherry. That's funny. She says, you got to write to the receptionist. And I can confirm because I've been a receptionist. They know all and they gossip about everything.
Does Sheila want to be friends with us?
I would totally be friends with Sheila and Dee Dee in a second. Sorry, Sherry and Dee Dee.
I would like Sherry to give me just advice. Sherry, could I have your number?
Yeah.
I just have a few life general questions. What should I do about X?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
So she is writing to these receptionists. I know that you've just recently hired John Smith. And he has two wives that have gone missing. Here's a missing persons flyer. He tends to meet ladies at work because he only knows how to poop where he eats when it comes to dating.
Uh-huh.
And then they go missing. So maybe do what you can do.
This is so good. Just because you know Sherry wrote it in such a way that it's like, if I got this letter, what would I respond to? So she sort of knows exactly what to say. This is masterful.
It is. And I don't think he can sue her. And well, he maybe could sue her, but like, he's not going to.
If she just says anonymous, how do they know?
That's true.
Signed, a concerned friend.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps leaving these jobs and moving around. And we don't know directly if it's because of Sherry, but it seems like Sherry had a hand in it. And Andrea says, don't mess with Sherry, in delight.
Andrea loves Sherry.
Loves Sherry. So then special agent with the FBI, Bob Haland, enters the scene.
Yes.
Now, back when Fran first went missing, he was a patrolman in New Jersey, but he now is with the FBI. He runs into his old colleague, Dansbury, who's one of the detectives, and says, what happened with that case with that missing wife and that guy that was so creepy and looked like he was being probed all the time? And Dansbury says, it's still active. We haven't gotten him. We haven't found the women. And so Haland is like, I'm in. I want to work on it. And he asks the FBI, and he says, can I work on this? And they say no. But much like Hillary, he persisted. And he said, I'm going to do it on the side, maybe? And the supervisor says, okay, as long as it doesn't affect your casework. And he's like, no problem.
No.
Spoiler alert, that doesn't work out. So you can't be an FBI special agent and also have sidekicks. I feel like that doesn't work. That's one of those all-consuming jobs. So Haland tries to find John, but John has moved away and now no one knows where he is.
Because his name is John Smith. So really good luck.
Throw a penny and find a John Smith. But you can't find this one. He has women that in his life that have gone disappearing and now he has. Haland receives records from the FBI. Can you give me your records on John Smith? So they send him everything they have on every John Smith.
With a birthday near his.
So it's still probably hundreds? Because how many people are using that as an alias and committing crimes?
What year are we in at this point? Because he says he gets boxes and boxes. And so not like a thumb drive. What year are we? Are we in the 90s at some point?
We're still in the 90s.
Okay.
Because a few years have for sure passed since 91. But I don't think we're at the 2000 mark yet.
Okay. Okay.
He finds out that John was arrested for driving with a suspended license 5 years after Fran went missing. And police had made copies of what was in his wallet when he was arrested.
Because he looks so creepy?
Because he looks like he's being probed. And they're like, I got to see what's in this guy's wallet.
Yeah.
It's not even part of the job. I just want to laugh about what's in his wallet with my friends.
They want to see if he runs a cult.
Yeah. In his wallet, there was a wallet-sized photo of a lady. And in the very corner, it says glamour shots, which Andrea perks up and says, I remember those.
Here we go. And then Agent Haland says something really weird when she goes, I bet you do. What do you mean by that?
Is that because Andrea's like a 90s baby or because she is so gorgeous? She, of course, went to glamour shots because she wanted to be discovered as a model.
Andrea doesn't need glamour shots. Glamour shots is specifically for people who are not glamorous and who suddenly miraculously look glamorous in a glamour shot because they're blown out and airbrushed to all get out and you have a fluffy hairdo and a boa on.
And braces on just your front two teeth. That was just me.
Kimberly and I have been trying to get glamour shots of ourselves for promotional material.
We just have to go get them at the mall. Do they still have them places?
You can't. They're not there. It's not a thing anymore. But you know what? You're coming to the South. And if they are a thing,
they're there.
They might be in Kentucky.
All I know is I know in my bones that if Andrea got a glamour shot, hers looked nothing like my glamour shots.
Did you get a glam?
I probably did. I wouldn't be surprised.
Do you have access to it?
I'll look.
If you have it.
I'm not sure if I did or if I maybe did something similar. I had a bat mitzvah and I got makeup and hair for that.
I will also see if there's a glamour shots filter yet. And also,
oh, that's a great idea.
TM, if there isn't.
Yes.
If there isn't a glamour shots filter you can put on where you're in a boa with the hair blown out and it's like insane makeup too. You're in blue and pink eyeshadow with purple lipstick and this striped cheek. The cheek with just the streak of blush.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So Haland, from this wallet size glamour shot, finds this woman. That's why he's in the FBI. That's incredible.
Wow.
He tells her, hey, do you know John Smith? And she starts crying.
Sorry, is she a Glamour Shots employee or is she the woman in
No.
the... That's why I got confused. Okay.
She took a glamour shot and gave it to John, her boyfriend.
That makes me sad.
I know. I know.
This whole part of the story, I don't like.
It gets even sadder.
We don't even get her name, do we?
No, we don't even get her name.
Let's call her...
Well, it has to be something like Pam, because we have Janice, Fran, Lan.
Sandy.
Yeah.
Sandy.
So Sandy, maybe because he feels like he can't remember the names because he has so many women. So he just... But he did have Sheila. She was a one-off. So this woman, Sandy, starts crying. She says, okay, I know John. I had a husband. John was my coworker. Once again, are we sensing a pattern here? Every time it's a woman he works with. They had an affair. She says, I do know he moved to Escondido, California. And Hilland is like, amazing. And she says, well, we still talk. We were still talking every day. And like, he proposed to me. I was going to leave my husband and bring my child to California to live with John. But very recently, he started ghosting me. And I called him and I couldn't reach him. So I called this friend of his in California. And the friend said, oh, yeah, he's out with Diane. They're shopping for the wedding. So he's engaged to a new woman and has ditched Sandy. So the woman who is cheating on her husband is devastated that her lover is cheating on her.
That tracks, Kimber.
Oh, it does. But also him?
Also him. Ugh, glamour shots. I don't like any of this. This is all rough.
How is he juggling multiple women?
I don't know.
Andrea says, you need a football diagram to keep track of all these women. And Hilland says, yeah, he's the man.
Ew.
And Andrea goes, him?
Andrea literally does a him.
She goes, how? Mm-hmm. How? How? You're in the FBI.
How?
You tell me how.
And this is where I kind of understand it.
Yeah. So women would tell Hilland that it was like God answered my prayers when I met John.
Right.
So whatever they were looking for in a man, whether it was money, it was someone who was religious, it was someone who was really sexual, whatever they were like looking for in their guy, he became that. So Andrea says he's a chameleon.
And it's also the perfect place to do that is, Hilland didn't say this, I'm saying this, in a workplace. Because you can sort of watch and sort of have little conversations, overhear conversations that they have with coworkers, get to know about them so you can present yourself as the exact same thing that they're looking for at that point.
That's totally true.
This poor Sandy, now known as Sandy, who got the glamour shot, her husband doesn't treat her as well as she wants to be treated. She's bored in their marriage or whatever. So he presents himself as this exciting affair that's come into her life.
Yep.
It's everything that that person needs at that time.
All he has to do is ask the receptionist, who knows all, what's going on with Jan over there? Oh, she broke up with her boyfriend because he was stealing money from her and he didn't have a job and stuff.
Yeah.
So you buy her some flowers and you take her to dinner and you do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Investigators find John living in Escondido. He's married now to Diane, his third wife. There's another woman in the picture that we're meeting now, Diane's daughter, Summer.
Mm-hmm.
And her first impression of John is that he is unusual looking, which is a very nice way of saying he is currently being probed by aliens.
She could have been meaner. She might have been meaner and they had her take it down a notch.
Yeah. She goes, maybe he's got a good personality. They call him Mr. Personality because he's so unusual looking.
Ooh.
That song was terrible.
What song are you talking about?
I can't believe that song was allowed to be in there. They call him Mr. Personality because you're so ugly. It's like a diss track.
But that is the adage, right?
Yeah.
I hate that adage.
Sure. I would rather have someone have a personality.
Agreed. Also, if someone has a good personality, they become more attractive. It's proven. Period.
Exactly. She finds that John appears to be very nice. He is almost overly nice.
Oh, I don't like that.
Which we've heard before. He dotes on Diane, which we have heard before. So Hilland thinks that new wife Diane could be in danger. They need to pull in John. So they surprise John at his new job. They bring him into a Marriott hotel room, and they have one room where they're interviewing him, and there's a huge chart on the wall, like Andrea was describing, of all the people in his life. and the FBI are in the hotel room next door watching on monitors.
Ooh.
Hillen says, well, John, the FBI is interviewing all the people on this chart all around the country simultaneously right now.
That's good.
A massive operation, 25 agents at the same time. So I love that Hillen was like doing this on the side, but he's pulled in everyone from the FBI to get on the case.
Here's the reason I don't like this, though. It's great because it could scare him. But if he has those a narcissistic sort of tendency here, what that would mean is I'm this important that they've got all of these people working on just me. That I don't like. That's not good.
They break apart his stories. They tell him, look at what all the lies that you've told. They play the Sheila phone call. And on that phone call, he had admitted he lied during a polygraph test, which is basically one of the only things they have him on. But
yeah,
anytime they call him out on a lie, he gets very beet red. He shrugs his shoulders. And then...
Nope.
Hillen tells Andrea
that
every time he's caught in a lie, he makes a sound like someone stepping on a cat or a baby crying. Now, Andrea has never stepped on a cat. She's very graceful.
Mm-hmm.
She says, what does that sound like? And so Hillen imitates it. Katie?
Meow.
That is weird.
This grown man with those bugged out eyes is making that expression. I would be like, that's the pod person coming out of him.
I want to know if he's doing the cat paws too. Is he doing the gesture? What's his face doing? More description.
Does it look like a baby? He's beet red, so I kind of feel like he looks like a baby.
I can't stand it.
That sound is how cats cry if they're not getting fed smalls, though. That is one thing I know for sure.
That is for sure, for sure. That's how my cats cry.
So if you don't want to hear that noise around your house because it's terrifying, feed your cat smalls.
It's really not pleasant. Another sound that you don't want to hear is the which is a sound normally that you hear before kitties throwing up, which I've heard a lot less of lately after feeding my cat smalls.
Amazing.
As many of you know, my cats are plentiful, and most were born in a bush outside of my old LA apartment. But one of my cats, we found out, is the ripe old age of 16 years old.
Aww.
And something I love about smalls is that it is for stages of all cats' 9 lives. And even as our younger cats age, we want to make sure that we are feeding them healthier as well as our elderly princess Brunhilde. Smalls cat food has protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients that you'd find literally in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends, and a few years later, they've served millions of meals to happy cats around the world. 90% of cat owners after making the switch to Smalls reported overall health improvements, probably in the department. But 90% of cat owners is a huge deal. My cats love Smalls, and I love the fact that I'm no longer feeding them burnt kibble. Kibble is chips for your cats, folks. My cats really love the ground bird and the ground other bird, but they really like all the Smalls flavors. I haven't tried one that they haven't liked yet, but the team at Smalls is so confident that your cat will love their product. You can try it risk-free. That means they'll refund you if your cat won't eat their food. It's 2024. Are you still feeding your cat kibble? Stop that. Head to smalls.com/datedateline and use promo code DATEDATELINE at checkout for 50% off your first order.
Wow.
Plus free shipping. Unbelievable. It's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use our code DATEDATELINE for 50% off your first order. So one more time, that's promo code DATEDATELINE at smalls.com/datedateline for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. And while age may just be a number, I want to make sure that I am feeding my cats, young and old, healthy food for as many of their 9 lives that get to be with me.
Aww.
That's why it's a Smalls world after all in my house. Thank you so much, Smalls.
That's so cute. Is also the sound that a baby or a Kimberly make if they are not swaddled head to toe in Bombas.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you know that Bombas has kids and baby socks? So next time your kid baby is crying, Maybe they're just not getting proper arch support on their footsies.
I have purchased kid socks and got nothing but glowing reports. I also got yelled at because now that's the only socks they want to buy and they had to throw all their other socks out. So sorry, but not sorry.
We hear from our listeners all the time. Once you go Bombas, you never go back.
It's done.
Much like John ruins other men for you, Bombas ruins other socks for you.
Yeah.
It's springtime, which means we could all use spring cleaning and a closet refresh time for Bombas. Bombas socks have foot-hugging honeycomb arch support, anti-blister tabs, and cushioned footbeds like walking on pillows.
Mm.
I had to get an MRI the other day, and so I wanted to wear my cutest underwear just in case anyone was seeing anything.
Oh, I hear that.
It also happens to be my comfiest, softest underwear that I feel most comfortable in. Bombas.
There you go.
Their underwear is unbelievable. Their socks are unbelievable. I am obsessed also with their buttery soft tees. No itchy tags.
Yeah.
I've said this before. They are still the first shirts I wear out of the wash every single time. And they're still in perfect condition. They're not pilling. They're not tearing. They still look perfect.
Yep.
The best part is that Bombas has a one purchased, one donated mission. So anytime you buy an item from Bombas, you also donate clothing to someone facing homelessness. And unlike Dating John, Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. Check out their fun garden party socks and their new spring collections that are so stinking cute.
Yeah.
Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/datedateline and use code DATEDATELINE for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/datedateline and use code DATEDATELINE at checkout.
Ooh.
Bombas is the bombas.com bus.
Bombas, 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 Bombas. They also have Mother's Day bundles.
Oh.
Also, something called the Summer Slub.
What?
Yeah, Summer Slub. They're basically their quarter socks with cushioned arch support, but in a lightweight texture everywhere else that's even more light for summer. Summer Slub. I don't know what slub is, but I love it. I like saying it.
God, that's perfect.
Thank
okay,
you, Bombas.
I need those now too. Thank you, Bombas. I gotta get those.
I know. I'm really sorry. I have them in my cart. My cart's really big.
So back to John and Hilland at the Marriott Express. There is a knock at the door and a piece of paper slides under the door from the FBI that are in the hotel room next door.
Oh, boy.
It says, Michael is talking in Ohio.
Here we go.
They show it to John. Your brother Michael is talking in Ohio. And John does what any innocent man does. He proceeds to fake a heart attack. He's giving Nicholas Aloverdian vibes.
Oh.
Surprised he didn't have a fake oxygen mask. They call an ambulance. Mm-hmm. They do a portable EKG machine on him, and it says he's fine, but he insists on going to the hospital.
No. Nope.
And as they are wheeling him out, he winks at Holland.
No.
Lord, give me the confidence of a mediocre white man that you will wink at an FBI agent.
Mediocre's generous.
I can't.
Ugh.
So Helen reminds him as he's being wheeled out, I'm not Barney Fife, and next time I see you, you'll be behind bars.
Mic drop.
Good job, Hilland.
Brilliant.
Agents go to talk to new wife Diane, and they say, you need to be aware John is being investigated for his wife Fran's disappearance. And Diane and her daughter Summer say, well, he has a huge portrait up of Fran in the house. We know about Fran. A, that is sick that you made this woman disappear and have kept her large photo up with your new wife, Diane.
I think because she took a lot of glamorous photos, Fran was really glammy looking. So he probably has one of these sort of artistic shots of her.
B, he told Diane and Summer that Fran died of cancer and points to her photo longingly, probably. Like, oh, so sad that cancer took her.
That is beyond
sick.
Cruel. Yeah.
Diane says, the FBI have been talking to me. What's going on? And John says, I'm being set up for some mob thing.
Okay.
That's the only information I can give. I hope that's not too vague for you, Diane. It's just a mob thing.
Why would you say mob? I'm trying to think of what else he could have said that would have been even mildly believable.
No.
Aliens.
Yeah, aliens.
Because you could be more mysterious. There was an incident in Area 51. I can't talk about it. The records are now under seal. I legally cannot talk to you about this, Diane. Just be dead serious about it and act a little scared.
And then, like, every time you go to the grocery store, if you see someone wearing sunglasses inside, mm-hmm. you just nod at them and look at Diane and be like, I told you.
Why are we shouldn't be helping him, but he's bad at this.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's bad.
So Summer and Diane kind of believe him for a second until Hillen really looks at them directly and says, Diane, you're in danger, girl.
Yeah.
And then Sherry and Dee Dee call her and say, you're in danger, girl. Get away from this man. We will pay for your flight. So you leave him because we don't want you to be missing wife number three.
There we go.
Now, Hillen tells Diane that John is most dangerous when a woman is leaving him, as are most men.
Correct.
So she feels like she should stay with him and maybe he'll get arrested soon. This is her plan. And then Summer, her daughter, moves in with them to kind of be a bodyguard and a witness because John always acts really nice when other people are around.
What's going on here?
It's very strange and it's not the plan I would advise, but it's the one that made the most sense to them at the time.
I feel like there is a piece of information being left out maybe we're just not privy to.
Yeah, but many women do stay because they're scared. That happens all the time. Even maybe when the FBI is telling them to leave. I'm sure the FBI would have helped them go into protection of some sort. I would like to think that anyway. And Summer wants to help, so she's moving in.
Thank God for Summer. Good job, Summer.
And they also want to help collect evidence, which is super brave of them. And so whenever he goes to work, they pull Sherry and Dee Dee, and they start going through his stuff, trying to find evidence.
Now, are they in contact with Sherry and Dee Dee at this point? Is Diane?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Hilland has now been working the case for a year and a half, and the FBI wants him to stop. But he keeps working it on the DL. And Andrea says, Bob, that's risky. And he says he is getting in trouble at work. His wife almost left him because he could not let this case go.
Wow.
Now, that's why I'm single, because I'm too dedicated to the job. And Oliver and the cats call themselves podcast widowers. Much
that
like football players in the football season, they call themselves football widows.
I think that's Oliver's TikTok handle.
Yeah.
It's sad.
So Hilland gets a call from a lawyer who says he represents Michael Smith, John's brother. And Michael wants to talk, but he wants immunity. And the FBI says, sure. So this is Michael's story. And it's real weird.
Yeah, it's real weird. This is really weird.
It happened in 1974. They are at the grandparents' house for Thanksgiving. There's this creepy, worn-out garage that for sure horrible things have happened in. It looks like Texas Chainsaw Massacre garage. That could be because it's been years and no one's done anything to it. Maybe it looked fine back then. Anyway, Michael goes out into the garage and he sees John building a box with wood. He says, what are you doing, John? And John says, well, you know, Janice left me and I have all these things of hers. So I'm building a box to put her things in.
Why don't you just put them in her red suitcase?
Exactly.
Wow.
Or the trash or a cardboard box.
Mm-mm.
You're building a box to put her things in. And John is crying as he's building the box. And the box is 2x4, not full on coffin size. It's smaller.
Oh.
I was like, what's in the box? I was channeling Brad Pitt.
Have you ever watched reaction videos to that? There's reaction compilations on YouTube of people at that scene.
No, I gotta watch. That's one of my favorite movies.
You should watch that.
A few years later, Grandpa calls Michael and says, I need you to come over right now. Michael comes over. Grandpa has found the box.
What's Grandpa's name?
Unsure. It's got to be...
He's married to Ethel. So Franklin? Frederick?
Yeah.
Is it Fred and Ethel?
Rutherford. He found the box and there's a smell coming from the box.
No.
Michael and Grandpa open the box and there's a smell and there's rainbow clown colored hair in the box.
No.
Michael moves the hair to the side and he sees Janice's face. He freaks out. The grandpa is freaking out. As you would. The grandpa says, you can't call the police. This secret stays in the family. It will kill your grandmother, Ethel. Now, Ethel already seemed kind of like a nightmare.
Yeah.
So.
In fairness. But she doesn't deserve to die because there's a head in a box. No.
No, I don't want her to have a heart attack or anything. They call John and he comes and takes away the box.
What?
Oops, you found my box. Sorry, I'll just take that away.
Wow.
Halen does not believe the story of Michael's. He thinks this makes no sense. So he has Michael call John and confront him. And that's how he's going to believe Michael's story. So Michael calls his brother and says, I'm freaking out. I'm going to tell the FBI the truth. I'm going to tell them about the box, how Janice was in the box. I'm not going to jail for you. And John is very calm and says, no, I get it. I wouldn't expect you to. Like, that's reasonable. Just so calm. It's so weird.
It's so unnerving. The calmness really gives me the creeps.
No, yeah, I get it. I wouldn't expect you to go to jail for me, Michael.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, I get it, bro.
It was a joke, though, just so you know. Someone put a dead goat in the box. So that wasn't Janice. But if that's what you think that it was Janice, that's fine. But it wasn't Janice. It was a goat because someone was playing a prank. You know, I'm such a prankster.
I'm so mad at him. He failed his polygraph. You're the worst they'd ever seen. You're a terrible liar. Mm-hmm. And you picked a goat?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't think of anything that might have smoother skin than a goat.
A mannequin? It's never a mannequin is the joke in the true crime world.
The mannequin could have been like, oh, that was a box of Halloween stuff because they saw a rainbow whatever. John, you're bad at this.
Yeah. Michael says, it was Jan, and I know it was her. I saw her cut off legs. I had nightmares for years that she was chasing me down the road.
My God.
So this fully traumatized Michael, as it would. And he's screaming at John, who's being so calm about this. Like, no, it was a goat.
No.
So what they think happened is that there had been a funeral home next door, and John had gotten his hands on some embalming fluid. And that's why her face was not decomposed. There was a smell, but it wasn't like the worst smell, and why he could still recognize her face. He had obviously done some sort of cutting up for her to fit in the box. Investigators need to find this box. So they decide to send out letters to medical examiners all over the area where John has lived. Did you find this box? Maybe it doesn't smell great.
Oh my God.
It's like a homemade type wooden box. Have you seen one of these? Because they're hoping somewhere someone maybe found this box, turned it in, and then the medical examiner's office has it.
But this is the only thing they can do. What else can they do?
Right. Fran's sister, Sherry, helps make address labels for investigators to send to agencies like police agencies, medical examiners all over the area.
Of course they do.
Is she on the payroll? I just can't believe it.
We used to do MVP all the time. Now we do it occasionally. But Sherry is the true MVP of MVPs, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because she helped the whole way. And she just gets better and better the whole episode. I love her.
Absolutely. Then they're looking for this box. And then John goes missing. Again, it's always ironic whenever he disappears. Mm-hmm. Diane calls the FBI and says he went out one night and he didn't come home. So they think, now they're less worried for Diane and they're more worried for Michael. They think John knows your brother is talking and he's gone to kill Michael.
Oh, no.
So they put Michael into hiding. But then John reappears dirty and disheveled. And he tells Diane that the FBI had been holding him in a hotel room, which is why he's dirty and they didn't let him shower. Which they did hold him in a hotel room that one time, but that's not where he was this most recent time. So Summer is Diane's daughter, thinks that he was burying Fran.
But where?
Well, Janice is in the box and he had this box, but he never got rid of it, which is why the grandpa kept it years later. So she thinks, well, it's been several years since Fran disappeared. He obviously kept her body somewhere as a trophy and now is getting rid of it. Summer thinks his pattern is keep the body. And then years later, or when you feel heat on you, you move the body, you bury it in a new location, something like that.
The only reason this is hard for me is it means that he would have had to then somehow transport her from New Jersey to California in the Escondido move, right? That's where I'm having a hard time, I think.
Well, he had moved to a bunch of places in between that move.
Right.
So maybe he always had it with him?
I would say the smartest place to check would be around the Connecticut beach house.
Right. Finally, Halen's FBI bosses say, you need to move on. we are done with this case. We have maybe other agents working on it, but you have other cases.
Is it just because he came to a standstill with the box?
I don't know. I think he's just spending too much time on it, and they want him to not be so obsessed. And he says no. He doesn't listen.
Wow.
He's going to get fired.
He's renegade FBI.
He is.
He's FBI do what I want. There we go.
So Diane decides this is getting unhinged. I really want to get away now. So she has a plan. She is going to file annulment papers while he's at work. He'll be served while he's at work. And while he's safely at work, she and Summer will pack up her stuff and they'll go into hiding. But for the first time in history, the court system is early.
Wow.
So they serve him early and he comes rushing home and they haven't had a chance to leave yet. So they hear his loud car pulling up and it's like Jurassic Park. The water is shaking. Terrifying. And they lock themselves in the apartment. It's like a full-on slasher movie. Summer looks out the people, and the look she sees on John's face, she said, is not human. He looks like a monster.
Ooh.
He is banging on the windows. He's banging on the door. Summer grabs a heavy jar in the kitchen. I thought, grab a knife, girl. But maybe a jar is safer. I don't know.
She explains it because I think she knew people would ask why she didn't grab a knife. And she said it was the first thing that she saw.
Yeah. I guess if you hide behind the door, then you can smash it over their head. I don't know. I watch a lot of Scream movies. Also, he's like a scrawny man that looks, again, like an accountant. This like superhuman, terrifying strength of a monster.
I don't want those eyes coming at me.
No.
Even if they're not monster eyes. Now I really don't want them.
Imagine you look through the peephole and you just see one of those eyes.
Nope.
So he breaks down the front door and they are for sure think they're going to die. But he sees Summer and he puts on his nice voice, which he always did when someone else was around, when it wasn't just Diane. And he's like, Diane, baby, let's talk about this.
Ooh.
So like Summer being there fully saved her mom's life.
Wow.
And Andrea again says he's a chameleon. So twice she says he's a chameleon. They call the police. He is never charged with anything. And Diane lets him move back in because now she's fully seen this rage. And she thinks it's safer to stay with him until he gets arrested. And she still wants to help and be an inside woman for the FBI. It's crazy, but we don't know that. We are not in that predicament.
We are not. And I feel bad for her. This is really awful.
So Hilland is working the case in his off time when he gets a message from the detective who was sending out those letters to all the medical examiners. Someone has found the box. So it was a few years before.
Mm-hmm.
A road worker in Indiana finds the box on the side of the road. And Andrea goes out to the location of the box finding.
With Sam Kennedy.
In her infamous white pants. Andrea has a superhero white pants mm-hmm. that we're obsessed with, or at least I am, because I don't know how she doesn't get them dirty and how she looks so great in them.
Or she just has really good detergent. We might be looking at this wrong. It might be how she cleans the pants.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, the woman has 6 children. No stains.
They must get dirty. They must.
The worker, Sam, what's his name?
Sam Kennedy.
Sam opens that box and he finds the shock of his life. Clothing, and underneath the clothing, skeletal remains.
Oh my gosh.
So he turns it into the authorities. They don't know who she is. They bury her as a Jane Doe. And she becomes known around town as the lady in the box. This is like Laura Norton's Lay Them to Rest book.
Oh, it is. You're right.
And they come up with names that are kind of catchy for the public hoping to get interest. Like the lady from the park. This is the lady in the box. It's so sad. So years later, someone in the office receives this letter and goes, oh my God, we have a lady in a box. This has to be the lady in the box. So Helen goes to Indiana and thank goodness the department there has kept the box
right.
and the clothing after years for evidence in case it, well, it obviously was a crime because there's not a lot of innocent explanations mm-hmm. for a woman being in a box. So they've kept them for all these years for this Jane Doe case. He holds up the dress and he can see her face imprint in the dress, which is what Michael kind of described.
Oh.
Because she was not fully decomposed then. And what Hillen figures out is that the dye from the clothes, there were these rainbow colored pants, the dye had dyed her hair.
Oh, wow.
And that's why Michael saw rainbow colored clown hair. DNA proves that it's Janice.
Wow. They are showing us, by the way, this cloth multiple times.
Yeah.
I did not see it, and I was kind of glad not to see it. And I'm guessing that Dateline also had a difficult time seeing what Hillen could see, but maybe other people did see it.
I saw a little bit of a face.
You could? Oh, it breaks my heart. Ooh.
But that could just be in my imagination. One day, authorities go and pound on Summer's door, and she's still living with Diane and John. And they say, your mom... And she starts crying to Andrea. She says, I was sure they were saying my mom is dead.
Oh, God.
It finally happened. But they say, your mom is okay. We've finally arrested John.
Yes.
Okay. And then we see his mugshot. And somebody has herpes?
What?
He had something on his lip that many people on Twitter feel like he has herpes. No shame.
I didn't even see it. What are you talking about? Really?
No shame. It's either a cut or herpes.
I didn't see it. I was just struck that, like, we've been dealing with him for how many years? And what year is this happening that he's arrested?
We're now fully in the 2000s.
Maybe 2010s year.
10. Yeah, we're definitely way more recent now at this point.
But his expression, every single photo we see him in, never changes.
You know what, Katie? If you get probed enough by aliens, they inject this stuff in you that doesn't age you and it freezes your face. It's kind of like Botox. So you always make the same expression and the wrinkles just go away. So it's like you're an ageless wonder.
No.
But is it worth it? You've been probed.
No. I mean, forever young, but I'm not sure. Maybe. Maybe it's worth it. I'm going to find this mugshot. I'm dying to see it now. I didn't see the lip. Oh, wait. Here it is. Where?
Upper lip.
This must not be the mugshot. They all look the same. Every photo, he's doing the same face. It's impossible. You know what he's doing? He's lifting his eyebrows in every photo. So he always looks surprised.
Yeah, surprised in every photo.
Mm-hmm. Who, me?
Here, I'll take a picture and I'll send it to you.
I'm getting it. I'm just at Sam Kennedy. I'm going to get it right now. I just need to see. I just would like to see the herpes. Oh, wait, there it is. It's apparently very obvious. Oh, I see. Oh, I remember. I remember it now. It didn't strike me.
Also, it looks like he has a sty under his eye.
He's got a lot going on.
He has a lot of issues. He needs to see somebody. And he's still sticking with that side part.
It looks like he got beat up. That's what this looks like to me.
Totally possible. Then we meet Diane. We have not met Diane thus far. We've only been talking to her daughter, Summer.
Yeah.
She says she is so relieved. She feels like she's the lucky one that she survived. Also, that's a Taylor Swift song. I couldn't not mention it. It was just going to drive me crazy. I was like gritting my teeth. She says John was so kind to her until that day he broke the door down and she thought he was going to kill her. She says Summer saved her life that day. And Hillen feels redemption for finally getting John because he goes to John behind bars. Remember he had said, the next time I see you, you'll be behind bars? He goes, I told you so. He's like...
He kind of had to do that.
I bet he winked at him back. Because John winked at him. I hope he winked and gave him a finger gun. And so a detective calls Sherry and Dee Dee, makes a clink noise, and says, we got him. He's in jail. And Andrea is delighted, says, you got a sound effect?
She was so excited.
John is going on trial for Janice's murder. But shockingly, or maybe not, this happens a lot, the judge blocks the prosecutors from talking about second wife Fran. This always happens. The prosecutor is allowed to bring the box in and leaves it in the court the whole trial so the jurors can just stare at the box. And they see the dress with her facial imprint, the whole thing. Sherry and Dee Dee are in court every day, even though this is Janice's trial, because they want him to see them. He's found guilty.
Amazing.
Sherry gets to make a victim impact statement, and she says, we are never going to stop looking for Fran.
Yeah.
Diane goes to see John in prison. You're thinking for a second, oh my God, does she still want to be with him? Please don't be one of those women on Dateline, Diane.
Don't do this. Don't do this.
She says, tell me what you did to Fran's body, which is so...
Yeah.
She's amazing, too. But he won't answer. She wanted to get answers for Dee Dee and Sherry. And I thought that was so classy.
It's not even that he won't answer. He keeps saying that he's innocent. I love that Diane did that.
So for Janice's murder, he gets only 15 to life, which is, not enough. And he gets his first parole hearing after 9 years. Thank God it's not granted. Sherry and Dee Dee go to all of his parole hearings. They still want justice for Fran.
Yeah.
Dee Dee sues him in civil court, and he's found guilty of Fran's death. However, finally, in 2019, so we were in the 2010s, in 2019, he is indicted for the murder of Fran. And this is thanks in part to Hilland, who still won't let it go.
Good.
And wants him to be held accountable for Fran as well as Janice. But for Fran's case, there's no body, there's no real evidence. And before it goes to trial, a judge rules that they can't bring up the fact that he was convicted for Janice's disappearance. So they have almost nothing. They have that tape with Sheila where he admits lying during his polygraph. He's offered a deal for immunity in Fran's case if he tells them where Fran's body is. He doesn't have to tell them what he did to Fran or admit that he killed Fran. He just has to tell them where her body is. He says, I put her in a dumpster at my work, Carborundum. Carborundum?
That seems right. Carborandum.
Carborandum? What is it?
Carburetors Unlimited.
Okay. I don't think that's right.
Carboratory.
I think it's a car company.
Carambadon. You didn't do what you said you did. Yeah, this is a bunch of malarkey.
He says, I was working at this place in New Jersey, the car place. I put her body in a dumpster there. He says, I didn't mutilate her. I put her in a blanket and put her in the dumpster. And he doesn't admit that he killed her. He just has to say he put her there. Now, Hilland, the FBI guy, is pissed. He says, I've known John for 20 years. I've been working on this case forever. He didn't dump her body at his work where thousands of people also worked. Shame on prosecutors for accepting that BS story and for giving him immunity for it.
I don't like to criticize because they are trying to indict him, but what is the point here?
Right. If you're not getting a true story, if that's not going to help the sister and the daughter get her body back or anything like that.
Isn't there also, I don't know, maybe this is just in the movies, where the immunity can be revoked if you don't follow through with your half of the deal? It's very clear that he's lying.
Yeah, that's true.
Feels like you don't get immunity anymore. Now you get charged.
Sherry feels like they left her family out to dry. They got justice for Janice and they didn't get any for Fran. Now the DA's office tells Dateline, look, we couldn't put in Janice's conviction, so we had nothing. We were never going to win the case with Fran, and we just wanted to give Sherry and Dee Dee some closure. So we thought we'll offer him immunity if he tells us where her body is.
Okay, I see what you tried to do, but this was definitely a mistake, and I feel like Hilland should have been called in for this because he was on the case the whole time, and he would have said, no, that's a lie.
Yeah.
Straight away.
Hilland hopes someone will watch this Dateline.
Yes.
And has more info, maybe on another woman, maybe
Ooh.
On Fran's case.
Yeah.
Somebody maybe will watch and call in.
Mm-hmm.
His next parole hearing is in 2029, and he'll be 78 years old. And Sherry wants him to know that if he gets out of prison in anything other than a casket, he better be looking over his shoulder.
Oh, and then what does she say? She says, because if it's not me, there's someone right behind me coming up that's going to fight for Fran and justice for Fran. And I loved it.
Yeah.
I believe her.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if she has children, she's raising them with the same righteous anger.
Yeah.
Against this man. And she should. He's terrible.
Love it. Who I also love and who are two other very tough broads, Sarah P. Ashley W.
Sarah P. Ashley W.
Here's what I have to say to you, ladies.
Why? Why that?
No, I'm just kidding. I love you, ladies.
I think you guys are red, green, and gold. Red, green, and bold.
You make our dreams come true.
Aww.
By being on our Patreon.
Yay! You guys are fantastic. Thank you so much for supporting us.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies.
And this wild case is dedicated to you. This is quite an episode.
Yeah. I don't want to play our game that you're, because I know you're going to yell at me, the game that you never let me play, which is, will he get love letters in prison? With that photo of him being alien probe, but also with this weird hold he seems to have over women. Will he get love letters in prison? No? Is he the first man you think won't get love letters in prison?
No, I'm shaking my head because he really shouldn't, but yes, he will.
I saw this SVU where this juror member, they couldn't get this guy guilty because he kept making bedroom eyes at this one juror who just like, he's innocent. I know he's a good man. He's innocent. They made him like a Charlie Manson type guy. He was not attractive, by the way. And she was like, I know he didn't do it. I could just tell by the way he looked at me. It's like, does John have this sort of power? I know that was an SVU and not real, but
no.
He was found guilty. So at least they found 12 people. Hopefully some were women and they found him guilty.
I could see him having correspondence with someone because remember, he gets it by being what you need. He gets women by being the person, the partner that they need in their life.
I'm looking for someone who's been probed by aliens.
Yeah, exactly.
Who maybe committed crimes.
No, he's going to get letters, unfortunately. But what I'm more shocked about is the last photo we see of him when they tell us that he's 75 or 78, however old he is, looks the same as the first photo we see. He's just slightly older. So the alien theory is not bad in this case because there's some sort of Dorian Gray alien juice.
Or is he formaldehyding himself?
Is he just one of those people that when they talk, they don't make a lot of facial expressions, so they don't make wrinkles? Although his eyebrows are up constantly in every photo, but for some reason, the way his forehead is shaped, there's just no lines there. I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
Well, he does a lot of swoopy bangs with the side part.
I don't know what's going on.
Theories? Any estheticians out there? B-roll bonanza?
B-roll bonanza! We see some antique items, such as things called landlines. But that's a fun one. Dee Dee and Sherry together forever, several shots. We get them at home with the photos spread out. We also get them walking on a bridge, leaning on a bridge, swinging on a swing.
Sitting in a sunroom.
So cute. I love a sunroom.
There's this photo of John in front of dinosaur bones.
That's tasteless.
Unsure where he is. That's tacky.
I don't want him around any bones.
Yeah.
That sounds gross. Detective Hilland is on a couch, possibly at the Ramada, looking, or the Marriott Express, looking at photos. We get the prosecutor walking in wind, which we don't see a lot of. But it's very clear that she's walking towards the wind like Beyonce. It's great.
Oh, I love that.
And very glamour shot apropos.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, I did write down something about the mugshot. I wrote, the mugshot's not as bad as it should be.
You didn't see the herpes.
I didn't see it. I think he got hit.
He totally could have gotten beat up.
Yeah.
But it's more fun to think he has herpes.
Did you have anything that I missed?
No.
Okay.
I was so distracted by the photos they kept showing of him, I could not pay attention to the B-roll.
There wasn't a ton of B-roll. It was a lot of sort of the same type of shots, and then a lot of insert shots of this phone, now this phone, now this thing.
Yeah.
What about fashion police? We got one fashion piece that I was into. Fran had some sort of sequin bolero. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Every time.
Fran was super glamorous.
Sequin bolero, fashion, every time. Love it. Mm. I think that might be... Oh, I said Sherry is just as glamorous as Fran. That family.
The family.
Dee Dee's also glamorous in her own way, but Sherry's in full-on falsies. She's got the lashes going. I think both of them had their makeup done because, ladies, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
And maybe they did it themselves. I shouldn't say they had it done. It just looks very professional. It looks Andrea level. And so that's the highest compliment I can pay you.
Yeah. Good job.
And MVP is Dee Dee and Sherry.
1,000%. But also secondary, Summer and Diane.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. They're just later on in the tale. I think I'm only thinking that because we get Dee Dee and Sherry the whole time. So they really pushed this through.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really hope that the woman that had the glamour shot is okay, who we have named Sandy. You did the right thing. You gave information. It's just, yeah, I feel bad for you.
And Sheila was good too. The woman in the Connecticut beach house.
Did she get the beach house? They weren't married.
No, I'm sure he kicked her out.
Okay, Sheila, I hope you were good. I hope everything turned out much better for you after that. And you were glad to be rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have titles?
Yeah.
What'd you got?
Dirty John, the prequel.
Ooh, good job. The original, the OG Dirty John, the original Dirty John.
The OG. Did John feed the fish? I would like to know what happened to that fish. Does someone have eyes on the fish?
How many fish? What's plural for fishes?
It would be fish. So it could have been many. Could have been an aquarium. And then my real title, Karma Came for the Chameleon.
That's it. That's what I got too. Jinx for main title.
Yay.
That's great. All right. We did it. I don't think I had any other great ones. Oh, I had hidden baggage because of the luggage.
Oh, that's good.
And then I had, this was hard for me. I've gone with the right Hilland to die on. Because Hilland followed it through all the way. But if you took it another way, it could be the wrong Hilland to die on, being like, John, you messed with the wrong FBI agent. But that was my other one. But Karma Comes to the Chameleon is the one. That is the one. Did we have any tweeters, twits?
Yeah. Stacy says, note to John's next wife, if he gives you a bright primary colored suitcase, run.
Yeah.
I think I probably said something similar that I stole from poor Stacy. Lola Love says, so let's recap. Crazy eyes, bad haircut, loud car muffler, and cheap. Yeah, John better be teaching a dating masterclass in prison.
Wow.
Seriously. Yeah. Which Sable Genius says, wait a minute, some woman who already had a husband chose to have an affair with John? Paula says, I just want to make sure I have this right. John Smith, pictured below, he is the man who is attracting all of these beautiful women. There has to be another John Smith.
He just figured out the game. This is a perfect example of why looks don't have much to do with it in the end.
No, especially to women. Women, honestly, most women don't care that much.
The thing is, though, that I don't get is that no one has described him as funny.
No, no charisma.
Yeah.
He's socially awkward.
That I don't get.
Yeah. Karen says, if we don't hear John making cat noises at trial, I'm going to be very disappointed. I agree.
I do think it's funny that Andrea made Agent Hillen do it.
I know. Thank God for Andrea. New Orleans native said, John was buying suitcases by the dozens. Clearly, I'm fantastic. Said, yes, John is a murderer who killed his two wives. That's for sure. Side note, what kind of shampoo and conditioner is this Lady Summer using? Because, wow, that's not a wig. She had great hair, too.
Ooh, she did have great hair. Yeah. Pros.
That's pretty much it.
That was great. Those were some good tweets. This was an unbelievable episode.
Yeah.
It was really good. Good job, Kimber. You described it really well because it was a nonstop information onslaught.
It really was.
My notes in a lot of parts are just one word. Just the box. I couldn't even keep up.
Yeah, I know. It was a lot. Thank you, Andrea, for your service to this case. Really appreciate it. I'm glad you didn't have to talk to John. I don't want him anywhere near Andrew. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much. Thank you so much to our listeners, to Sarah P. and Ashley W. Appreciate it.
And please make sure to check us out on Instagram, and our social media is Dateline. Check us out. Kimberly does funny stuff. Also, we will be at CrimeCon at the end of May. There are still tickets, I believe, and our code is DATE. And also, if you are interested in joining our Patreon or Supercast, you should, because we have a great episode this month. We have a fresh episode every month that nobody's heard unless you're joined there. And also, there's going to be special content called Karen Reed All About It, where Jake and I discuss the Karen Reed trial. Emily D. Baker's covering it. I know a lot of people have been talking about it. It's a wild case.
But has anyone been talking about it with no legal training whatsoever?
You mean all of Reddit?
As well as Katie and Jake? I don't think so.
There's lots of places you can get information, but if you want to hear us gab on, then come on and join Patreon and Supercast.
I know you all want more of Jake. You ask for it all the time.
Jake will be there. He was there not by choice, and then now he's there by choice, because if there's one thing Jake is good for, it's falling into a rabbit hole, which I very much appreciate him for. Good job, Jake. Do we have a promo swap? Who are we swapping with this week?
We do. We have our great friend, Amy Archer, who we met through Mary Payne from Pink Shade. She has her own podcast that she started last year, I think, called Little Miss Recap, which is the best title ever. And I'm
yeah,
so
really
freaking
good.
Jealous. It's like those Little Miss Sunshine. Love it. And she is so funny. She's just really, really naturally funny. And she does recaps with different friends. And they talk about surviving sister wives and different weird documentaries, true crime, deep dives, everything crazy, reality TV. Just check her out. Honestly, you'll be hooked. She's absolutely delightful. Also, a bunch of Mary Payne's listeners think that Amy Archer and I sound exactly the same. So sometimes when I'm on, they think it's Amy Archer and vice versa. And we did an episode where it was just the two of us last year, and people thought it was multiplicity.
That's bizarre.
I don't hear it, but everyone else hears it. So if you want to hear my voice twin, go check out Little Miss Recap. Also, she's amazing.
Are you going to be a guest on her podcast?
I would like to be, yes.
All right, let's put that out there. Kimberly's available.
Katie is too. Honestly, either of us could go to Amy. She really likes us and just say, hey, we want to talk about this. And she'd be like, yes, please.
Oh, that's great. Yay. That's a good friend to have.
And she's so sweet. Aww. Yeah. I've only talked to her that one time when we did a crossover, but enough people have said, I thought it was you.
I got to hear that. I need to know. I'm dying to hear it.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Amy. Check out Little Miss Recap. I'm still really jealous of that title. Thank you, everybody. And don't watch alone. And remember to be your own.
Be your own, Karma Chameleon.
There we go.
Karma drives a big bus.
And it knows everybody's address.
My name is Amy Archer, the host of Little Miss Recap. I'm a writer, a mom, and a lady of a certain age just solving murders from my couch. Television has become a web of social connection, and there's nothing better than finding your people. Those of us who love murder shows, we appreciate reality trash, and we go real deep on good documentaries. From the fun frolicking of Couple to Thruple to the rage-inducing Seeking Sister Wife, we at Little Miss Recap laugh, we cry, and we scream into the void, and we do it all together. We've covered some great documentaries like Love Has Won, The Cult of Mother God, or Escaping Twin Flames, and we go real deep on some true crime docs too. So if you're looking for your cult, I mean your people, join us at Little Miss Recap wherever you find your podcasts. All are welcome.
I'm also really proud of you because you haven't done it yet. And I'm pretty sure you wanted to, but you have not said the line yet.
I am an FBI agent.
No, I just said, I was proud of you because you hadn't said it. Why are you saying it?
You reminded me. This is what we call the Barbara Streisand effect, kids. It is when by trying to make something a small deal, you actually draw more attention to it and make it a larger deal. Because I didn't write it down.
I'm more concerned is in maybe you have a headache or need a nap or a snack. Maybe you need a cheese. Do you have cheese?
I didn't write down FBI candy and I did not write down I am an FBI agent.
You definitely need a snack. Can you check your blood sugar? Is your blood sugar low? I need everyone. I need full vitals on you. I need blood pressure, all of it.
I'm so predictable. My mom got them done with our golden retriever for my dad. And both her and the golden retriever have feather boas on. It was at some sort of like Sears studio.
Oh my. Are they in a bathtub?
But with red feather boas. No, no. How would you do it in a bathtub? At a Sears?
How did they make everyone look like a fan was blowing? I don't know how Glamour Shots does its magic.
I think there was a fan blowing.
You did get them. If you knew there was a fan blowing, I never got them.
I'm just guessing.
I'm dying to know, but seriously on the TM for the glamour shot filter, because that would be so fun.